Good morning. Well, if you missed last week, Sandy Hake shared her testimony, and it was absolutely wonderful. So I would always encourage you, when that happens, that you miss a testimony, or actually any of our times together, to remember that they are available online. So Kyle has been so wonderful, sometimes getting them posted like just a couple of hours after we have met on Tuesday. So that is just a blessing. So just so you know that they are available. We're coming down to the last 3 weeks, and I can't believe that three of our leaders are gone. We have Paula Manser and Artie Osborne and Donna Lippincott. And they're all off on an African safari. I mean, don't you just hate it when people flake out, you know? Actually, I'm very excited for them, and I would encourage you to keep them in your prayers because, I mean, it is a pretty amazing experience to actually go and just see all of these wild animals. Paula's biggest concern is usually that we are so used to seeing animals like in zoos and constrained, controlled environments that those people going with her are apt to forget, no, this is their environment. You're the one who needs to be in the constrained, you know, controlled environment. And so just pray for them. But already maybe some of you are following them online. They're posting pictures. And the biggest thing that just amazes me is the skyscape, you know. It is absolutely incredible. And they've only been there a few days, but keep them in your prayers. And then just to say, you know, as I said, we're coming down to the last 3 weeks. And I do want to encourage you. Someone was mentioning this morning that, you know, some of you are already thinking, oh, we're breaking already. But I want to remind you, we don't have any rules against you getting together with each other through the summer. You know, maybe some of you would like to meet for coffee together or pray together, or I know a lot of you have connections going on through the week with emails updating prayer requests and things for those who weren't here. And wouldn't it be wonderful if you would continue praying for each other all summer and maintaining that contact? So do consider that, you know. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. And Lord, you know the things you want to say to my sisters. And I just pray, Father, that you would give them ears to hear you, that by your Holy Spirit, you would breathe power into these words and you would help them to go right to the hearts of each woman here. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as I have been approaching these last weeks, it's been kind of hard for me because it's given me this challenge of, okay, so what are the last three names you're going to share on? And this is the first time I think I've told you that usually it's week by week. And on Tuesday, I don't know what the next week is going to be. Whereas this time, I did feel like the Lord showed me what the last 3 weeks were going to be. And yet, I was aware of the fact that I know, because some of you have said it, I haven't necessarily shared on your favorite name. And that's where it's just amazing how many wonderful names we have for Jesus. And I have personally been blessed about this. And what I realize in my preparation time and my praying time for the names that we would go through each week is that, you know what? There is no end to what we can learn about the Lord. You know, we could be full-time students. You know, we could lock ourselves away in a monastery somewhere and become monkesses, you know, for the rest of our lives, doing nothing but studying. And we'd still barely skim along the top of what there is to know about the Lord. And so that part has really personally blessed me. For me, it's been motivating. You know, that could be discouraging, just thinking, well, I mean, then I'll just take these little morsels that Judy and, you know, Brett doesn't hand out little morsels, but comparatively, I'll just take what a spoon fed me, let's put it that way, and be happy with that. No, I would hope that what our studies do and what coming to church every week and going through the Word every Wednesday the way Brett so faithfully takes us, that it would not satisfy us, that we wouldn't think, okay, hey, that's good, but that it would make us only want to know Him better. And as I've shared with you, I am not by my own temperament the intellect, the studying type. You know, some of you are. And truly, when I talk to women who love to study and have gone into the Greek on so many names and words and everything, I am totally impressed and blessed, because for the most part, that isn't who I am. And yet, you know, the Lord has been so faithful to me. Yesterday, I heard myself saying this out loud, and I realized I've said this before, and that is, how can I teach on your name with my puny little brain? But what I want you to know is when I say that, I say it with a smile. You know, I'm not whining, I'm not complaining, because I know without a doubt that the teaching is from Him. And that has been the most huge comfort for me. It's not, what is Judy going to come up with, but will Judy be quiet enough before the Lord to receive that work He has already prepared in advance for me to do? That is my comfort. The thing that has blessed me, though, is, again, knowing that about myself, how is the thing that I have experienced over and over again in preparing for Tuesday is how that preparation time can really just kind of like get hold of me. You know, I love that. I mean, it's in a totally good way. I had spent a lot of time reading and preparing. I always do, again, because that's just the way the Lord works with me. And yesterday, toward the end of the day, I mean, literally, if I found out, oh, guess what? We're not meeting Tuesday, we're going to meet Wednesday instead, I would have thought, good, you know, because I still have so much more that I could read, that I would want to read. That's a work He does. And He makes it a blessing, because when we're in His Word, when we're focusing on Him as we are going through His names, Lord, that is a wonderful thing that He gives to us, that He imparts in us. And again, my prayer is that you will allow Him to take hold of you. If, like me, you're one of those people who would not normally be given to that. In last year's study on the names of God, we learned that Jehovah was the name of the self-revealing God. God wants to be known by us. How I love that. Last year we saw how he revealed himself through the things he did in various circumstances. As Elroy, he revealed himself to Hagar as the God who sees. He appeared to Abraham, when Abraham was 99 years old, as God Almighty. El Shaddai, the all-sufficient, the all-bountiful one, the source of all blessings and fruitfulness. That's who he was, as he promised to Abraham, that he would be to him whatever he was in need of, that nothing was too hard for him. Later, when Abraham was going to sacrifice his son Isaac, God spoke to him again, this time as Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. And you remember that story. There's Abraham ready to slay his son Isaac. And right before that moment, God spoke to him. Jehovah Jireh spoke to him. And there was a lamb in the thicket that God provided. The ram that would be the sacrifice instead of Isaac. Going through all the names we studied last year was a huge blessing for me, because each name revealed God and helped me to know him better. This year, as we've been studying the names of Jesus, it's really been just a continuation on last year's study. That is, in learning the names of Jesus, we've come to understand and know God all the better, because Jesus is Jehovah. And every name we've considered has only helped us to grow in our knowledge of him. I'm so glad that God wants to be known by us. In Hebrews 1:1-4, it says, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation, long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. And now in these final days, he has spoken to us through his Son. God promised everything to the Son as an inheritance. And through the Son, he created the universe. The Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God. And he sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. When he had cleansed us from our sins, he sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. Verse 4. This shows that the Son is far greater than the angels, just as the name God gave him is greater than their names. In verse 3, where it says, the Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God, I like the New King James Version, which says that he is the express image of his person. Jesus is the express image of the person of God. Not many weeks ago, we were in John 14:9, where Jesus said to Philip, he who has seen me has seen the Father. Jesus came so we could see, so we could know the Father. Everything he did represented the Father, and he did it perfectly. Jesus said, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Again, Jesus is the express image of his person. It's also important to note in verse 4, where it says, far greater than the angels, because there are cults. Maybe some of you could have been from one of them that believe, that would say that Jesus is just an angel. He was not an angel. Think about it. He created the angels, so he's certainly vastly superior to them. So you may be sitting there thinking, so Judy, what's the name for this week? And I know it's been kind of a long preamble, but at the same time, I really think it's important for us to just take in as much as we can about Jesus, making that connection between Jesus in the New Testament and Jehovah in the Old. I love reading about the Lord. And I just pray this has been able to whet your appetite to want to learn more about him as well. Well, it seems only fitting that since we're coming to the end of the study, our name would be found in the last book of the Bible. So if you want, you can turn to the book of Revelation. So who was the author of this book? Anybody want to say? John. Well, the truth is John was really more like a scribe, you know, taking the dictation from who? Jesus. So Jesus himself is the author of this book. Again, I just love that. So let's read the seven verses that lead us to his name. Verse 1. This is a revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants the events that must soon take place. He sent an angel to present this revelation to his servant John, who faithfully reported everything he saw. This is his report of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. I love that the next verse is an encouragement for those of us who might be disinclined to read Revelation. You know, truly, when you start reading Revelation, it's pretty mind-boggling. And it would be very easy, again, if you're like I am, to just go, I think I'll go back to the Gospels or whatever your favorite part of the Bible might be. But verse 3 of Revelation 1 says, God blesses the one who reads the words of this prophecy to the church, and he blesses all who listen to its messages and obey what it says, for the time is near. So virtually every single one of you is going to be blessed in a special way this morning because we're reading from this book. So that's a nice thought all by itself. Now to discover our name for this week. Verse 4. This letter is from John to the seven churches in the province of Asia. Grace and peace to you from the one who is, who always was, and who is still to come, from the sevenfold Spirit before his throne, and from Jesus Christ. He is the faithful witness to these things, the first to rise from the dead, and the ruler of all the kings of the world. All glory to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by shedding his blood for us. Verse 6. He has made us a kingdom of priests for God his Father. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. Verse 7. Look, he comes with the clouds of heaven, and everyone will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the nations of the world will mourn for him. Yes. Amen. And finally in verse 8, the name. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord God. I am the one who is, who always was, and who is still to come, the Almighty One. Now, maybe some of you know that Alpha and Omega are the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. So in calling himself the Alpha and Omega, Jesus is declaring that he is the first and the last, the beginning and the ending. You know, we might use the expression, they have everything from A to Z, you know, because in saying that, it encompasses so much from the beginning, A to Z. And that's what Jesus is telling us, that he encompasses everything from Alpha, the beginning, to Omega, the end. This is something I would really challenge each one of us, me included. I've been praying it since I've been thinking about this name. And that is that the Lord would help us to take hold of this name. You know, it's so easy to just take in information and just kind of keep on going. But you get so much more from it if you stop, if you pause, if you think about it, Selah. You know, if you just allow the Lord to give you that personal understanding, that personal insight. And that's what kept hitting me as I was preparing for this, and I just kept praying, Lord, help me to get it. Because the truth is, if we could really get it, could really take in that he is Alpha and Omega, beginning to the end. If we could take that in, think of the impact it would have on every area of our lives. And so I really am encouraging you to do that, because I don't dream for a moment that I can accurately represent it to you, that I can give you what you need to just get it, because I can hardly get it myself. And you've I'm sure heard that saying, you know, that you can't impart to someone else something that you don't have yourself. And I feel like I have this much of it, and yet enough to know that, oh, Lord, help me to grasp it, because it's so profound. And that is my prayer for each one of you, because it should adjust our perspective. No matter what we're going through in life, no matter what awaits us around the next corner, if we really, really believe that Jesus is the beginning and the end, it should impact us tremendously. Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end, the one who is, who always was, and who is still to come. The Almighty. The thing that Jesus is saying here, and I hope we would get that, because that is pretty fundamental in and of itself. He is saying he is the eternal God. It brings Hebrews 13:8 to mind. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is a hard concept because it's so opposite of what we are. We're not the same yesterday, today, and forever, are we? We might not even be the same in the next hour that we were in the last, you know? So it's hard for us to take hold of that steadfastness, that permanence, the fact that Jesus never changes. He doesn't fluctuate. He doesn't have good days and bad days, days that he just loves us so much, and days that it's, well, you know, that isn't the Lord. That's who we are, but it's not who he is. It's a huge mistake if we assign our attributes to the Lord. And when we do, it's no wonder that we find ourselves, you know, discouraged, feeling hopeless, fearful, uncertain. But going back to the name Jehovah, and to remind you, when you see this in your Bible, how does it appear? L-O-R-D, all in caps, right? That was one of the things that I loved in doing that study last year, was all of a sudden just seeing Lord, Lord, Lord in capital letters in so many places and realizing this is Jehovah. He's the first and the last in the Old Testament. Isaiah 41:4 says, I, the Lord, that is Jehovah, am the first, and with the last, I am he. In Isaiah 44:6, it says, thus says the Lord, Jehovah, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord, Jehovah of hosts. I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. Then he repeats it yet again in Isaiah 48, verse 12. Listen to me, O family of Jacob, Israel, my chosen one. I alone am God, the first and the last. Jesus made the same claim in the book of Revelation. He referred to himself as the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. One writer said, this either means that there are two firsts and two lasts, or that Jesus is God. And I want to include the following verse because it speaks of his being eternal. Verse 13. It was my hand that laid the foundations of the earth, my right hand that spread out the heavens above. When I call out the stars, they all appear in order. Jehovah is Jesus. He is the one who always was, who is, and who is still to come, the Almighty. Now, to think that he wants a personal relationship with each one of us. Isn't that an amazing thought? If we would picture ourselves, maybe we'd picture ourselves more like, you know, the hundreds of thousands of Israelites. We're one of them, and he loves us. But that isn't how he wants us to know him, is it? He wants the personal relationship with each one of us. Isaiah 43 tells us that he calls us by name. Jesus says that the very hairs of our head are all numbered. That's Matthew 10:30. And Psalm 38:9 tells us that he even hears our sighs. I have always loved that one, maybe because there have been so many times in my life when I've heard my sighs. And to know, oh, he heard that too. And how could I not include Psalm 139, which makes it very clear that he watches us, he knows us, and he's with us. Again, now can you hear me? How like the enemy to try to have a little interruption in the flow of our thinking when I'm talking about how much the Lord loves us, how much he wants that personal relationship. And my prayer is that if you're one of those women who find that hard to take hold of, again, even as I've encouraged you to pray about the name Alpha and Omega, that you would say to the Lord, please, God, would you help me to see that you're my God, that you are personally interested in me, you know, and spend time until you really believe that you're getting it, that you can take hold of it. Because again, once again, if you take hold of that, it changes your perspective about everything else. So please spend that time with the Lord. Brett often quips, there's no problem in my life that wouldn't be taken care of by the rapture. Well, if I could really believe that there's nothing in my life unknown by God, nothing from the past, nothing in the present, and nothing in the future, that he's at work in my life, using everything for his purposes, and if I could also remember that everything he does in my life is motivated by his love for me, how would that not totally change my perspective? And perspective was the word that kept coming to me with Alpha and Omega. That if we get that name, it's gonna change the way we see our lives and respond to it. Right when I was thinking about this in my preparation, the Lord brought a scripture to mind. I just felt like I heard it. And it's from Deuteronomy 33:27. It says, the eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. That's one of my favorite scriptures. Eternal, everlasting. The one who is, who always was, and who is still to come, is protecting me, is protecting you. And he's holding us up with his everlasting arms. Doesn't get much more beautiful than that. In Jeremiah 31:3, one of my favorite scriptures, I have loved you with an everlasting love. It's hard for us to understand this. I don't think God expects us to. But the Lord knew us before he even formed us in our mother's wombs. He knew us then, and he loved us. We didn't have to win him over. We didn't have to convince him that we're worth being loved. He loved us. As Paul said, if only we could grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ. Another verse for you to meditate on. Yesterday, just sitting at my desk, I felt almost like a nudge from the Lord. There was a book on my desk that, even though I really love it, I don't read it all that often. And it was just like what I call a nudge. And I saw it across and I thought, okay, wonder if it has anything about Alpha and Omega. So I reached and I got it. And when I saw that it did, then I told myself, okay, Lord, you did lead me to this. And it's kind of a lengthy reading. It's not like just a little quote. So try to keep listening, because it's worth it. And this the book is Beside Still Waters, and it's by Spurgeon, of course. Nothing will happen that God has not foreseen. No unexpected event will destroy his plans. No emergency will transpire for which he has not provided. No peril will occur against which he has not guarded. No remarkable need will take him by surprise. He declares the end from the beginning. From ancient times, things that are not yet done. Isaiah 46:10. God fills his own eternal now. He sees everything, the past, the present, the future. All of the future is foreseen and fixed by him. Derive great comfort from this fact. Suppose you go to sea with the most skillful captain. That captain cannot possibly know what may occur during the voyage. Even with the greatest foresight, he can never promise an absolutely safe passage. There are dangers. Hurricanes or tremendous waves could sink the ship. When you come to the ship of Providence, however, he who is at the helm is master of every wind that blows and of every wave that breaks its force on the ship. He foresees both the events that will happen at the destination and those at the starting port. He knows every wave, its height, width, and force. He knows every wind and all its connections. We are safe with a captain who has forearranged and foreordained all things from the beginning to the end. It is to our advantage to put implicit confidence in his guidance. Be this my joy, that evermore thou rulest all things at thy will. Thy sovereign wisdom I adore, and calmly, sweetly trust thee still. I just love that. That trust can come only if we really know the Lord. We know him for who he is, the beginning and the end. Jesus is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And what he starts, he finishes. And that includes what he's doing in you, what he's doing in me. Philippians 1:6 says, he who has begun a good work in you will complete it. Isn't that a wonderful promise? Because I would dare say that every single one of us are very aware that the Lord has started a work in us. He's doing something in each one of us. And if you're like I am, then there have been multiple times where you've been going through something and you fail in it. And you think, oh God, I did it again. And you know he's going to have this continue till I've got it, till he's worked it in me. Corrie ten Boom used to say, don't worry when you fail God's tests. He allows makeup exams. And we can laugh, but most of us are groaning inside thinking, I don't want to do this again. But the truth is, isn't it wonderful when you go through something that you might predict how you would go through it, and instead you pass, you know. You hang on to the Lord for dear life through the whole thing. You don't lose your peace. You walk in his strength, and you think, Lord, thank you. That is something you completed in me. And yet, of course, we all know, as soon as that happens, guess what? Well, there's a new thing he's going to do in us. But his promise is, whatever he starts in us, he will finish. He will complete it. And remind yourself, he knows you through and through. So it's not like he's overestimating who you are or your abilities. He knows what he will do in you, and he will be faithful to complete it. Let's look at a few verses in Revelation in closing. Revelation 1, verse 17 says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. Verse 18, I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. Revelation 21:6, he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And lastly, in Revelation 22:12-13, behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Jesus, help us to believe. Let's pray. And that is our prayer, God. You make it so clear. It's woven throughout your word who you are. And truly, God, we want to take hold of it. We want to take hold of you, Lord. And so help us in our puny little brains to trust that your word is true You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You have known us and loved us before you even formed us in our mother's wombs. You are a God to be trusted. We don't need to be afraid. Have your way in us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.